It's Saturday of the fourth week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zilsdorf. Today our Roman station is at San Nicola in Carcere, St. Nicholas in prison. I have a personal connection to this station church. As a seminarian, I was assigned here for Sunday duties, and then took over the direction of a Gregorian chant schola entirely of women. They sang beautifully. Later, I was ordained a deacon in this church by the late and truly great Cardinal Meyer, the holiest man I've ever met. St. Nicholas in prison is named after a saint who was imprisoned during the persecutions of Diocletian. Nicholas was especially venerated by the Greek population of this sector of the city in ancient times. The tag "in prison" perhaps refers to the fact that there was a prison nearby from at least the 8th century. The basilica is built in the remains of three Roman temples which once stood on the edge of the Forum Holitorium, the vegetable market of the ancient city. It once had beautiful frescoes inside, but then along came Cardinal Rodrigo Borgia, who whitewashed the place. He was later elected as the infamous Pope Alexander VI. In a side chapel here, there's an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, decorated with some of the first gold brought from the New World. St. Gaspar del Bufalo founded the Confraternity of the Precious Blood in this church in 1808, and I'm happy to have a first-class relic of that great Roman saint. We're back with Cardinal Richelieu, and a treatise on perfection, saintly counsel, and obtaining salvation, and we are up to Council 18. My personal experiences of the things which often take place in this world urge me to request that religious and clergy, and others who are involved in the spiritual care of souls, observe two particular points very carefully and diligently. The first is that they do not permit themselves to be easily deceived by the pretext of piety, and be led astray by those whose virtue is shown only in their face and words, but not in their actions. There are many people who speak all the more powerfully and movingly about their religious feelings, the more their own actions become wicked and sinful. I realize, of course, that it is a great merit for a Christian always to endeavor to think well of one's neighbors, but it is perilous to do so when such simplicity is not tempered by the virtue of prudence. I have heard of and come to witness innumerable problems and difficulties arising from excessive credulity and gullibility, and know of many things that have taken place which are truly unspeakable. Those who are charged with the care of souls or who hold some public office will surely fall into a multitude of errors unless they join something of the wisdom of this world to their commendable moral goodness. The second point is one which many religious leaders fall into, who think that anything is permitted when it comes to making appointments, especially when these appointments are influenced by patrons of high standing. Indeed, this creates many problems. Those who are responsible for making appointments, often under the influence of high-ranking personages, are led to choose candidates for pastoral positions who merely meet the minimal requirements of canon law, but are not otherwise suitable. And such people end up being appointed rather than those with more genuine fervor or zeal for the salvation of souls, or more talent for fulfilling the office in question. The type of people appointed under these circumstances often prove inert and apathetic in their role. While they may do nothing bad, they equally typically do nothing particularly good either. But the persons passed over, that is, those with ardor, zeal, and talent, would certainly have achieved many admirable things had they been appointed. In the pursuit of Christian perfection, we must consider culpable not only bad deeds which are committed, but also the omission of good deeds that are reasonably possible and consistent with one's vocation. Thus, those who, through dullness or inertia, or under the influence of others, fail to work to their potential for doing good and useful things, cannot be counted as being guiltless or without fault, even though they may not actually do anything illicit or wrong.